Richard King for breakfast.
And on the subject of e-scooters, boy, oh boy, it's been a hot topic, not just this morning, but overnight as well. Sherilyn was getting calls all morning about the, I think they're calling it the e-micro-mobility action plan the New South Wales government had put forward. And I did say, and I was quoting from an article in the Telegraph yesterday that said, with reference to this plan by the New South Wales Transport Minister, Joe Halen, central to Ms. Halen's regulation plans will be rules consigning e-scooters to bike paths or shared zones, but apparently not. And a lot of people have said that according to the Service New South Wales website, they'll be allowed on roads governed to 50k speed limit. Gary says new rules for e-scooters coming will be a disaster. You said not on roads, but the Service New South Wales website says otherwise. They will hold up traffic on narrow roads at peak hours. Not a good idea. Plus no insurance. Don't make them legal, says Gary. John, subject of bloody e-things. E-scooters and bikes around here on the weekends, they're dumped everywhere. Wherever they stop, driveways, footpaths, everywhere. A Sunday morning jog is dodge the e-toys. These environmentalists care so much about the planet, but not the people they live with. But there's been a lot of reaction to this, and I know somebody who's very up-to-date with all the e-things is our IT and gadget guru, Stephen Fenwick. He's got a wonderful website, techguide.com.au. He's on the line. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Richard. How are you going?
Very good, thank you. Look, I was watching the news last night, and I heard this discussion about e-scooters that some of them can do 100 k's an hour, and I thought, oh, that's rubbish. And then I had a caller this morning, Mark.
E-scooters, mate. I got one. Cost me $5,500. Got a top speed of 100 clicks. Got a range of 125 kilometres. And, mate, it's really scary fast.
100 k's? I didn't... Yeah. They go that fast.
Some do, but on average, sort of your traditional, your typical scooter would probably do about 25 to 30 kilometres an hour. But that's pretty fast if you're riding on a footpath or something like that. It is. It's surprisingly more than 450,000 e-scooters have been sold in New South Wales, and even though they're technically illegal. It's this new government initiative, this action plan you mentioned, is recognising that these scooters have a place because they could replace that short drive down to the shops or up to the supermarket, something like that. So rather than you jumping in your car and more congestion on the road, more people fighting over parking spots, this could be the solution to sort of ease up that rush. So. That's the reason behind what the government's thinking about here. There's going to be a lot of plans in place and a lot of rules in place as well. Especially, obviously, you've got to wear a helmet. You've got to be over 16, and they'll allow you then to ride on roads and shared bike lanes as well. As well as, I'm assuming, on footpaths. So
you've got to be careful. According to emails I've received this morning, Service New South Wales allowed on roads, but governed at a speed limit of 50 k's, which I didn't realise.
You have it.
Yeah.
Well, you think about it, a lot of people complaining and saying they're dangerous and it's going to put riders at risk. Well, it's no more risky than a cyclist. Like we normally deal with people riding bicycles on the road today. The only difference is that the e-scooters aren't under the person's own steam. There's a motor on board and they're sort of chugging along. The other thing they're looking at too is creating parking spaces for especially the shared e-scooters. Your other callers that said the dodging the discarded e-scooters. They're the shared e-scooters where a lot of people hire those to get from A to B, and a lot of people also have an e-scooter to get them to the train station. They either fold up the scooter and take it on the train to get to work or whatever, or they lock it up and leave it at the train station. That's part of this initiative. They're going to create designated parking zones for e-scooters. Yeah. So, again, another reason to leave the car at home. You might be able to just pop down to the station on your scooter, and that opens up the road also, you know, less congestion on the road and less congestion in the car park.
Yeah, look, I'm a lot of logic to some of the arguments, but then there's things like insurance, et cetera, and, you know, if they're going to be on the road, should they be registered? And
I think these are all questions. They're all valid questions, Richard. I reckon you ride a bicycle today, you don't need to register a bicycle.
That's right, yeah.
Even an e-bike, you don't have to register. That's got a motor in it too.
Yeah.
So does an e-scooter, does that need to be treated differently? These are questions that need to be answered.
Well,
we need a bit of clarity around it.
I mean, if you're doing 100 Ks, though.
of course, mate. Yeah. That's dangerous. Like,
yeah, also.
If like your listener was saying he's got obviously a really expensive model, but the limit for scooters, you said, was going to be up to 50 kilometres an hour.
On roads. Well, apparently, on roads. Look, yeah, I mean, they're pretty sophisticated now. And I know on Tech Guide, you've done a review on these new ZT3s. How good are they?
Road scooter, I haven't actually. I've just written about it. I'm receiving it today, and I'll review it and put that up in a week or so. But these are meant to be, like, all-terrain. So you can go on a road. You can go off-road with these things through paths and all that kind of stuff. So they're designed, again, same design to give for as a commuter alternative. They can just go off-road in places where other traditional scooters can't. It's got 11-inch wheels, and it's got, like, a decent clearance underneath it as well. So got a digital display which can be read even during bright sunlight, 1600-watt brushless motor as well. So it's up to 25 kilometres an hour, though, range about up to 80 kilometres.
Yeah, wow, okay. Yep. Look, a couple of queries from listeners that asked if I would ask you, and this is the Telstra Optus shutdown of 3G yesterday. John said, I thought the idea of discontinuing 3G was to boost 4G. Could you ask Stephen if that's the case?
That is the case, yeah. The reason that they're getting rid of 3G, they're making way for more 4G and 5G. So they've only got, each network has a certain amount of what they call spectrum. So think of it like a big block of land. Each one's got a block of land, and they've planted 3G, 4G and 5G. They get rid of the 3G to plant more 4G and 5G.
Okay. The other query was, and it was a story, Canterbury Bankstown. Apparently they've had four so far this month fires in garbage trucks caused by lithium-ion batteries. And a caller rang earlier this morning and said China are developing sodium-ion batteries, which apparently are a lot safer. Do you know much about those?
Yeah, I've heard of those. I think lithium-ion has been sort of the most popular because it's the most efficient and more cost-effective to make them. In the case of, you said the lithium ion battery caused the fire, it was actually caused because it was discarded irresponsibly in a garbage truck, that garbage trucks crushed the garbage.
Yep.
That's why it caught fire. That's why you have e-waste separate to your normal waste. So if you put any kind of battery in the garbage, there's a chance that that's going to happen because if it gets crushed. It's like, have you ever been on a plane and they say if your phone falls down the side of a seat, don't move the seat, we'll get it for you? Have you ever heard that announcement?
Yes, yep.
So the reason for that is if you try to recline your seat to try to get at it, you might pierce the battery and cause a fire. That's why they don't want you to do that. So these idiots throwing out batteries into their garbage, that's what's causing the fires. It's their stupidity causing the fire, not the lithium-ion battery.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Look, we talk about AI and the dangers of AI. I think I mentioned that Obscurus vinyl, all those songs that have been popping up everywhere, and and jingles. I've had people who have sent in jingles they've made for me just using software that anybody can access.
It's pretty remarkable,
apparently, one of Poland's leading state broadcasters have copped a lot of criticism. They've launched a new radio program presented solely by artificial intelligence presenters.
Oh.
Apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they'll never do that at 2HD, hopefully, mate. your job's pretty safe there. Richard, it's another example of a use of AI that many people might not agree with.
Yeah.
Many people in Poland might not even know that it's AI. They might think it's normal.
That's the problem, I think. Yeah, that's the problem. And look, you were going to say.
No, I was going to say that this is where the government has to step in, though, where It's not right to be able to create something that's going to put people out of work. Traditional media, radio, TV, newspapers, that's got to be human, created by humans. There has to be some sort of government regulation they need to create And they're in the process of doing it. They're trying to keep up with the technology. But I think that kind of AI is, I think it's a bit unethical to have that. And who's to say whose opinions these AI is going to share? Like, yes. What's it going to say? Yeah. Is it going to be leaning left, leaning right? What is it going to be? Like, it's that you need a human being in that role.
Yeah, hear, hear. Yeah. I'll go along with you there, mate. All right.
You're safe, Richard.
So are you, Stephen. All right. Always good to talk to you, mate. Have a great week. We'll catch up next Tuesday.
Good on you, Richard. Talk to you there, buddy.
Our IT and gadget guru, Stephen Fenwick. Again, his website, which is a ripper, Tech Guide, one word, TechGuide.com.au.